This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to episode number 93 of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Oh, I tell you what, we had an email this week and it was something that we all have to deal with as parents. And it went something kind of like this. This mother wrote us and she said very briefly, just jumping right into it, our oldest lies. She's talking about her 11-year-old son. She says, our oldest lies. He lies about his involvement in incidents. He lies about anything that might paint him in an unfavorable light. We catch him exaggerating at times to make himself look better. And then she goes on and she talks about the things that they're doing to try to deal with this. She says, we talk about conspicuous honesty. We've read Bible passages. My husband and I have modeled honesty very carefully. We're even very careful not to use white lies. We don't know what to do to help him. We believe deep down he's a wonderful person. I don't think he understands what an issue this is, and he thinks we're picking on him when we catch him in his lies. He seems more upset that he's been caught than he feels ashamed about lying. How do we help him?
You know, some kids just seem to test out a sin.
Yeah.
You know, that they're going to try it and see if it works, see if it gets them what they want. And it seems like different kids have different sins that they get sucked into.
Yeah, and I think this particular age, you know, we talk a lot about this, the preteen years, and this is an age when a lot of kids are testing boundaries, that they're looking and saying, I've never thought to see, well, will the world actually come crashing around my ears if I do this? You know, maybe I would get away with it. And sometimes they'll do things which they've never done before. You never would have expected from them.
At the same time, Hal, kids in this preteen age, their executive functions aren't firing right in their brain. Their brains are changing.
Yeah.
And so that priority setting and problem solving, that part of your brain that says, is this really a good idea?
Yeah, the good idea, bad idea meter does not work too well. It's still being calibrated at this time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one thing that immediately caught my attention when she says, my 11-year-old son. But
you know, we've had this problem with different kids, like at six.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like they suddenly decide, I'm just going to see if I have to.
I'll just see what happens if I deny it, if I just deny what's obvious there. Now, of course, when you get younger than six, you know, I think it's normal for kids to kind of be in a dream world sometimes.
Not to be entirely sure what's.
They cross back and forth between make-believe and reality pretty easily. It's a pretty seamless transition. There's not even a click. But I don't think that's what she's talking about because what she's describing there, it sounds like it's a pretty constant thing. You know, that he lies. He lies if we ask him if he's been doing something. He lies if he thinks he's going to get in trouble. He lies if he wants to brag about something. You know, it's kind of like for positive benefits or to avoid punishment or to, you know, it just seemed like any situation, it seems like he's falling into this temptation to fabricate, to lie, to deceive.
And, yeah, that's got to be stopped, Hal.
It's
got to be stopped because that is so dangerous. Because a parent who doesn't know what's going on can't protect a child.
Yeah, as ours were little, that was something that we decided this is one of the most important things to teach our kids and to really emphasize to them that we just cannot tolerate a child who's blatantly dishonest. You know, we can't wink at this because, I mean, it's just like a child who does, you know, very destructive things or very dangerous things. You just see so many ways they could get in trouble, not just, you know, embarrass the parents, but like serious life-changing injuries and worse, you know.
Well, you know, one of my friends posted on Facebook a month or two ago about a girl who had their family grew up in a, she She grew up in a normal, ordinary, like ours and everybody else's Christian family.
Yeah.
16-year-old, and she had been at the mall with friends and met another girl, really liked her. She was dressed conservatively the same way. They got to talking and exchanged phone numbers, and they spent a lot of texting over the next few days, which is, you know, that's fine at 16.
Mm-hmm.
But this girl said, well, look, why don't you sneak out of the house and come hang out with me?
That's okay.
You know, that should have been a huge red flag. At that point, the child should have gone to their parents and said, you know what, this new friend of mine is trying to get me in trouble.
Yeah.
Is trying to get me to lie to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you know what she did?
Did she sneak out?
She snuck out, Hal.
Yeah.
And there was a car waiting. And they bundled her into it. And they drugged her. They took her to a drug house. And they cut her hair and dyed it. And they were preparing her to be trafficked.
Wow.
Thank God they found her 24 hours later in just a raid of that drug house for a different reason.
It just happened. Yeah, it wasn't that they were trying to find her. It's just she happened to be where the police were finding somebody else.
But the police had a few more hours and she would have been sold or dead.
Wow.
Because she lied to her parents.
Well,
you know, and that's why it is telling the truth, teaching your children they've got to be honest with us, is a critical, can cost you your life kind of thing.
You're touching on something there, too. Sometimes we get focused on one little aspect, you know, do you tell false stories?
Right.
Well, I didn't say that. Well, I didn't, you know, I never said that I didn't do it. You know, the heart of the issue is deception.
Deception.
Deception, evasion, fixing the blame on other people. I think, you know, Adam and Eve, what happened when they ate the fruit that God had forbidden them to eat? And God said, what have you done? Did you eat from that tree? And Adam, you know, Adam didn't fall on his face and say, oh, my God and my Creator, I have violated your commandment. I have broken your trust. You know, he said, well, the woman you gave me to be with me, she gave it to me. And, you know, he's evading.
Wow.
He's evading right now. And that's what that, you know, that young woman that you just described was doing. She was deceiving her parents, maybe not by word, but by her actions. By her deeds. And that is also a dishonesty, a lying attitude.
Well, you know, you took us back to the Bible there, and I think that's one of the critical things that we've got to do when any time I look around, I think, man, our children are always, I think, we need to get centered back on what the Word of God says here.
Yeah.
Now, one of the great tools, we've mentioned this before, that we use this for instruction in righteousness by Pam Forster of Dual Post.
Yeah, Forster, F-O-R-S-T-E-R, and you can order it from doorpost.com, doorpost with an S on the end, doorpost.com. But, yeah, it's one of the things I like about it, and we've got several collections of, you know, of proverbs and things arranged for parents to use, and those are good, useful references, but I really like for instruction in righteousness because, yeah, there's a list of these are the commandments that say, don't do this thing. But there's also the sections that say, well, here are the blessings of the person who does the right thing.
Yeah.
The blessings of being honest, of being trustworthy. And also the things that the Bible suggests are going to happen to people who fall into these sins, to people who live this way. What happens? What should happen? You know, good suggestions for maybe things to look at around your home.
Well, yeah, I think any time we look at a child and they're not showing respect for God's law, you know, they don't seem to be trying to please God, trying to do what's right. They don't show, like this mom said, he's not ashamed of his lying. I think it's time to bring out the Word of God. Because you know what, we can apply guilt, we could yell, we could talk to them, we could try to persuade them, but our words will never have the power of the Word of God.
Well, the letter to the Hebrews says that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And, you know, God said, my word will not return void without accomplishing what I've sent it out for.
I have seen that happen in our house so many times, Hal.
Yeah.
So many times I've gathered the children around and we've each taken a verse and we've read through those verses and by the end, everybody's in repentance.
Yeah.
You know, and I think So the first thing I would do is it's time to start washing this kid's conscience in the Word,
right.
You know, and start bringing out some things to look for. The ninth commandment, you should not bear false witness against your neighbor.
That has not been repealed.
Nope.
You know what? That hadn't been, God's kingdom hasn't outgrown that.
And two of the seven things that Proverbs 6:16-19 says, two of those things that it says God hates are deception, a lying tongue, and a false witness that speaks lies.
So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of passages that talk about lying, and there are passages that talk about truthfulness.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, I think if we are believers, if we are the people of the Word, you know, and Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, then we do need to be going back to Scriptures regularly and use the ones you've memorized, look them up in your concordance if you need to, whatever, but you need to be quoting the Scriptures back into your family's life. Now, I do say, and I feel like I have to say this because there are people who abuse it, that we have to remember the Bible is not your special attack dog that you can unleash on your disobedient child and say,
no.
Gotcha.
You can just share the Word of God with humility, recognizing that we're sinners and we're subject to it too.
That's a crucially important point because, you know what, when the Bible is just mom or dad's tool for badgering me,
nobody wants to hear that.
Nobody wants to hear it, and it reduces their respect for the Word of God. They just see it as a tool. But when we say, you know what, son of mine, daughter of mine, this is the Word that guides all of our lives. These are the commandments of the God that we have to deal with. And, you know, I'm in submission to them, and you need to be in submission to them. And I'm not coming here to say, because I'm holy and great and mighty, that I'm going to, you know, throw thunderbolts at you, but rather to say, you know what, I'm a sinner myself, and this speaks to my heart, and I'm sharing it with you because I know it needs to speak to your heart as well.
That's right.
So going back to the Word, I think that's the very first thing. Always go back. And I appreciate that, you know, the things that she describes here in their family life are the exact kind of things that we would recommend. You know,
right.
That they go to the Word, they look into those Bible passages, they share those with their son. And
they just need to keep on keeping on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, we share the Word with our children. You know, it's really important for me to examine myself. Lots of times when I notice my children are getting really snippy with each other, I realize I'm getting snippy. And sometimes I realize they're getting sarcastic, I realize I'm getting sarcastic. And that's not always true.
Yeah.
But our children will take our example and will mom and dad do it and make excuses for their own sin.
You know, I just saw something today on Facebook. Yes, Facebook, that source of modern wisdom. I saw somebody put a little graphic out there and said, number one, you should become the kind of person you want your children to grow up to be. And number two, then don't complain if they turn out like you.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's some truth to that. You know, that if God's commandments are for all of us, then if we want to have honest children, we need to provide them with honest parents. And I like that, you know, she makes the distinction that she said, we're even careful not to use white lies.
That's, you know, so important.
It is. We were just talking, about being analytical about media recently. And one of the things we were talking about is a very, very, very popular old family oriented, situation comedy. That it seemed like every episode centered on somebody telling a lie.
Yeah.
Somebody made up a story. They bragged about something that they couldn't do, or they tried to avoid being embarrassed, and so they lied about why they didn't do something or why they did do something. And then the story is played for laughs of how they have to squirm around to try to maintain the lie until the child or the dog or the maiden aunt, you know, reveals it at the end of the story. But you know what? Those are lies. They're still dishonest. They're still deception. And I think that's something we need to be cautious about because, especially in today's culture, so much of our culture is not driven by principles, but is driven by feelings. And if something feels awkward or it feels embarrassing or we're confused and don't know what to say, then we might make up something on the spot to try to save our feelings.
Yeah.
And I think that's displeasing to God.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that she says they're very careful not to cut corners on the truth themselves, to be that example, to try to be people of integrity in the sight of their son. You know, another thing I find too, one of the things about discipleship, and you think about Jesus' example in discipleship, you know, he lived in front of his mm-hmm. disciples. And every so often he would stop and he would explain what he's doing. It wasn't just, you know, I'm a virtuous person and you should learn from my example, but rather he would stop and say, do you understand what I just did? Let me explain why I said this.
I think that's an important part of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just being an example for our kids, but explain why we're doing what we're doing.
Don't assume they're just going to pick it up. They're just going to absorb it out of the...
Right. But live it in front of them and explain it to them. Explain to them, you know, well, mm-hmm. you know, I had to do this because I promised I was going to do it. And I know that we don't want to do this today. I don't want to do this today. But mm-hmm. we made a commitment. We're going to stick to it. You know, mm-hmm. we explain why we're doing things to kids. I think that really helps them to see that decision-making, especially in this preteen age,
mm-hmm.
to learn how a Christian makes decisions based on the Word of God.
Okay.
You know, say, the Bible says, let your yes be yes. I said we were going to do this, now we're going
to
do it.
Well, I had to do that today. I had made a promise to a family member that something was going to happen, and the person that I had asked to do it didn't understand, and it wasn't happening, and so I kind of had to stop and say, okay, I'm going to keep my word on this.
And it's annoying, but it has to be done.
And by the way, that was very well received.
Good.
I just mentioned that. I hadn't told you since we got back. But anyway, you know, another thing, too, is to recognize, like we talked about on for instruction of righteousness, yeah, there's commanding, thou shalt not. You know, don't do this. God is displeased if you do this. But, you know, there's so many times we talk about the blessings on the flip side. We talk, and it's I think it's important when we talk to our kids to say, don't do this, but instead do this other thing. Instead, let's pursue peace with all men. Let's pursue holiness. Let's pursue God's blessings, which, guess what? You know, he says, like, okay, I pulled this out of one of the references here in Proverbs 22. It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Well, okay, so we're not going to lie, right? But then it continues, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Now, I like that idea.
I want the Lord to delight in me.
Yeah. And so that says, okay, so if I'm faithful, faithfulness is something that God delights in. Just like I want to avoid being abominable in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
So that's good. Let's stay out of the abominable territory. But boy, how much better to be somebody that God is pleased with.
Well, let's talk about how do you deal practically mm-hmm. with one of these kids that's just lying all the time. I think, you know, what I've done in the past when you were at work and
yeah.
we had to deal with a situation like this
mm-hmm.
is to do what we call intense discipleship, where that kid has to stay with me all the time.
Well, that's a practical consequence. If you've got a child who's untruthful, then you can't trust them to act responsibly and independent, you know.
Exactly.
And
that's exactly what I remember very clearly, one of our sons going through this.
Yeah.
And it was everything. And he was right about this age. It was school. It was everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, if I can't trust you to tell me the truth, then I'm going to have to keep my eyes on you. You're going to need to be with me all the time. That means you got to be in the room with me. You're going to do school in the same room with me. Yeah, I don't lab with little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if I take a nap, you better bring a book and come sit in my room.
And that may mean that I have to check your schoolwork every single class period, every single day. You know, it's not one of these, I'll check up at the end of the week and just make sure you've done it all. No, I'm going to have to follow you.
Scratching it up.
I'm going to have to follow you like a hawk because I can't trust you.
Exactly.
And how about
boy, and they hate that. Oh, they hate it so much.
Well, let's up the ante on this one. I'm sorry, son, you can't go play soccer with your friends in the park because I don't have the time to go with you today. And, you know, when you're out of my sight, you're never telling me the truth about what you've done, and I can't trust you. So I'm afraid you're just going to have to tell your friends no today. Ooh,
yeah.
That's an 11- or 12-year-old guy. I mean, that's like just nailed him to the floor. Okay, so those are good, some very good practical things.
I think part too. I remember one of our guys seemed to go through a stage right about then that he just wasn't thinking real clearly, and he would see things through his own perspective so pointedly that it's like he couldn't see anybody else's perspective at all. And so if he got in disagreement with his brothers, he would seem to be lying. It wasn't that he was really lying. It was that he just really could not see anybody else's perspective but his own.
It's like he was blind.
Yeah. Like he was completely blind to the larger situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those kids, you need to sit and talk it through. And often you need to role play it with them. Okay, now you pretend that you're your brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Now what does the situation look like?
Mm.
You know,
okay.
To help them to see that other people are thinking the same kind of things they are, but they just seem to go through a real selfish, self-centered phase right about then, kind of like they do when they're two or three.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is so important. Sometimes, I mean, we might go on to a real hair trigger response to what seems to us to be intentional deceptive lying practices, when actually, like you said, the executive functions aren't working too well in the preteen mind.
Yeah.
And maybe they work something out that sounds plausible because they can't
put it out of pride. A lot of times I've seen that in our kids.
Because they can't put into words what's really there.
Yeah.
Or they don't understand what's really there.
Or they don't want to be wrong.
And that's, you know, that, again, that's a little bit of a different thing than one who says, oh, if I admit that I ate the last cookie out of that jar, I'm going to get in trouble. So I'll lie, bald-faced, that I never touched it.
Which is cowardly, yeah.
That's cowardly, but that is a deceptive lie of a different sort, which is a much more serious thing, I think, than the child who is seems to have a cognitive issue.
Well, a scarier part is the child that has been lying a lot,
yeah,
and you're pretty sure he's lying, but you can't prove. I've had sometimes with some of ours and heard others talking about it too,
mm-hmm,
where how do you handle it when you've got a kid who's got a habit of lying and you think he lied and he's telling you, oh no, ma'am, this is the truth. Now you've got to pray. You've got to pray that the Lord will reveal the truth.
And I think sometimes, you know,
and watch them carefully so see if you can catch them.
Yeah, I think sometimes you let it go for now, knowing that this child's got to have it, and there will be plenty of opportunity to discipline them for very obvious, clear cut, unmistakable lies. And I might let this one go with a warning. Sometimes you have to say, you know what, the Constitution protects the people from the government. It doesn't protect my child from his parents. And
I mean, go looking around and see what's really going on. Yeah. In fact, a child who's habitually lying, I would be praying really hard to reveal whatever sin is in their life. Because lots of times I think lying is a way of hiding other sin.
Mm-hmm.
Of trying to avoid the consequences of sin. And so I think it's important to make sure there's not other sin that hasn't been dealt with either.
Okay, now it's obvious if you think, okay, I'm going to get in trouble because I did this, and so I'm going to lie about it. But I think what you're saying is a child who has a deeper hidden sin may be lying as a distraction to keep your attention away from something totally separate.
Or may have just become living such a life of lies that they just lie all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And it's sad that you have to mention it for a child this age, but, you know, I would be really sure I had some accountability on all my computers and make sure there was no sin going on with the internet.
Yeah. Well, that.
All your computers and phones.
Yeah. Well, that's an area a lot of young men are stumbling into right now.
Yeah. And you can go to raisingrealmen.com/safety. We'll take you to our favorite solution, Covenant Eyes.
Yeah.
In a way that'll get you 30 days free and bless our ministry. But, you know, you just got to make sure, I guess, you got to deal with the sin. You got to give them consequences. There needs to be consequences.
Yeah.
And beyond the initial punishment of that particular lie, there probably needs to be some bigger consequences for this whole lifestyle of lying, like the intense discipleship.
Yeah.
But you've also got to deal with that kid's heart.
Well, and something, too, I find, you know, as I'm dealing with our kids' different issues, that one thing that I think they need to hear from us is, you know what, this is not about me. It's not
right.
about me because, okay, if my child lied about something, if my child did something bad and then lied about it, and I find out later on, I'm embarrassed, it looks bad on my parenting, it looks bad on the family, okay, all that's true, but you know what, son, I'm worried about you because a man who has a reputation for being dishonest is not going to be very popular with an employer. He's not going to be trusted with more responsibility or to do certain kinds of jobs at all.
And God hates lies.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the things that God hates. And I think when we take our eyes off ourselves, mm-hmm. if we don't respond, how could you lie to me?
Mm.
How could you do this to me? Take our eyes off us and say, son, mm-hmm. how could you lie when God says something he hates?
Mm-hmm.
That changes everything.
Yeah.
Because I know several times my mother made it very plain to me growing up, I was raised in a Christian home, that the problem was not me and her, it was me and God. And that is really helpful because, you know, it's easy to get in a struggle. Well, that's what she says. But when it's me and God, that's much scarier.
Well, that kind of brings back to sort of the closing statement in this message. And I've had some other correspondence with this parent since the original question came up. But, you know, she points out that they're doing all these things, which you and I have been describing here. They're doing these. And I say, amen. Great. That's exactly what we would recommend if you weren't doing them. And she says, but it doesn't seem to be breaking through to him. He doesn't seem to be, you know, coming to a point of repentance. And I think that's something that this is kind of the hard truth. All of us have to deal with God one-on-one.
Yeah.
And it's all a matter of the heart. And sometimes when we're rebelling against God and we've hardened our heart against him, you know, that it comes out in all kinds of sins, and lying is an easy one.
Our parenting cannot save our children.
No.
We can do everything right, and they can choose to rebel against God. Or we can do everything wrong. I've had friends who were raised by parents who did just about everything wrong. We can do everything wrong, and yet God reached out his grace and saved that child. We're accountable for our parenting, and so we need to parent a godly way.
And we can train behaviors.
Yes.
We can train behaviors. We can train manners and conduct.
But our kids are responsible to God themselves.
And you know what? This is really, I think, the bottom line. We've got to pray for them.
Oh, we've got to pray our hearts out for these kids.
Because we can't change our child's heart. And even a 9 or 10, 11-year-old can have a heart that he's trying to harden.
Yeah.
And we can't change that.
I think that's when a lot of hearts start getting hardened.
We can't change it, but God can.
God can change it.
You know, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, he said that the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And this is John chapter 16 if you need to review it. But, you know, that's an important thing. The Holy Spirit works where we can't. And, in fact, he works in places that we'll never touch. And so we always need to be praying, God, change the heart of this child. Take this heart for your own.
Amen.
Make whatever changes need to happen to bring him closer to you.
Do whatever it takes, Lord.
And whatever needs to happen in changing me to help bring him closer, make that happen as well.
Amen.
So don't be discouraged. You know, just if you
don't stop doing all the good things.
Do the right thing, and if you don't see the results,
keep doing
keep
the right thing and pray.
Because I think about one of our kids who went through a very hard-hearted period, and we thought, we have lost this one. We have poured so much into him, and he's totally thrown it off. What will we do? And then when God changed him, it was like a light switch.
It was
like he had broken the shell, and that bird came out of the egg, and it was incredible.
Yeah.
But until that hour, we didn't know.
God had to change his heart.
We just had to persist and do as much as we knew how to do, and trust God for the results. And so, you know what? You can take that as encouragement. God changes the hearts. You can't do it. And so you shouldn't worry about thinking that you are failing to do it.
No, just keep doing the right
pray
thing.
For, pray.
And pray, pray, pray.
Look, a couple of resources we've mentioned. We mentioned the for Instruction in Righteousness.
At doorpost.com, they're friends of ours.
That's very good.
We've used that resource for probably 20 years, Hal.
And you know what? It's still really good.
Still one of our top resources.
That's right. You know what? Another thing that we found extremely helpful, Ted Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart.
A really good book.
It's not just lists of do's and don'ts and how to be an effective disciplinarian, but he talks about really getting to the heart of the child and teaching the principles of God's Word, not just the commandments and warnings and such, but that, wow, that has such an impact.
And, you know, we've done a couple podcasts with Carol Barney. You ought to go back and listen to them if you haven't listened already.
Uh-huh.
Her book, Reaching Today's Prodigal,
yes,
is one of the most useful books I have ever read for dealing with rebellious adult children, but also rebellious teen children.
Well, and you might hear that title and say, my child's not a prodigal. He's still at home. He hasn't run away. He hasn't.
Well, maybe you can keep him from becoming one.
That's right, because she's not just dealing with the ones who have run away and joined a motorcycle gang, but they're talking about the attitude where
the
heart of a prodigal that's distant from you before they ever leave your home. And so those are great resources, and we'll put those out on our blog later this week.
And if you don't have our book, Raising Real Men,
mm-hmm.
we talk a lot in there about training the character of your boys in all kinds of different areas. And you can find that at our website at raisingrealmen.com.
Okay. Well, look, we appreciate you joining us. I mean, this is a big topic. It's a very important topic, and it's one that every parent has got to deal with, sometimes more than others. But you know what? We serve a God of truth. We're told to always speak the truth in love, and that's the goal that we have. And
if you have a kid in that challenging preteen age, mm-hmm. we're in the middle of a live series. You can join us right where we are
mm-hmm.
and catch up quick with Boot Camp 9 to 12, our online webinar series for parents of preteens and early teens to help you figure out all these changes they're going through.
If you want information, go to raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp, and you can read all about it there.
Talk to you next week, folks.
All right. Folks, thank you so much for joining us. We hope we'll talk to you again as we help apply biblical principles to the 21st century family. Till then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.